Meridian Development Corporation, starting off with roll call. Commissioner Vassalone, here. Commissioner Winder?
Here.
Commissioner Byrd? Absent. Commissioner Danzo? Absent. Commissioner DeBeard?
Here.
Commissioner Mueller? Absent. Commissioner McCarville?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
And Council Villegas?
Here.
And Administrator Squires?
Here.
Item number three is confirming or modifying the agenda as needed.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Winder.
I move that we push back items 7 and 8 to the next regular scheduled meeting, but otherwise approve the agenda as published.
Second. Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next item is approving the consent agenda, approving the minutes of December 14th regular meeting, the 2016 November financials and notice of bills paid, 2016 December administrator's report.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Winder.
I move that we approve the consent agenda as published.
Second.
A motion and a second. We'll take a roll call vote. Commissioner Vassalone?
Aye.
Commissioner Winder?
Aye.
Commissioner DeBeard?
Here. I mean.
But you started.
I thought I answered wrong.
I really am here, and I'm an aye.
Commissioner McCarville, are you here?
I'm here, and aye.
Aye.
And then moving right into our action and presentation items. Item number five is a presentation of Unbound. Actually, we'll postpone that item and move that until Nick arrives. So then item number six is a presentation of Meridian Youth Farmers Market fiscal year 2017 sponsorship request. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Sure. And will you state your name for the record?
Becky Brashear.
So,
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, page 28 and 29 in your packets are two different summaries regarding Meridian Youth Farmers Market. The first is regarding what occurred in fiscal year 16, and the second is what the request is for fiscal year 17, and I'll let Becky walk through those, the highlights, and we can have a discussion.
Well, the first Meridian Farmers Market, we had a preview in the fall of 2015, and then we had our first summer season in 2016. I thought it was very successful. I guarantee that was the most friendly market that you will ever find, because the kids were very interactive with the people who came. And the people who came time and time again, because they loved the interaction with the kids. So I thought it was a brilliant concept. And I don't know how sustainable for long term, but I'm still seeing a fair number of requests about it. So maybe it'll be a long term kind of market, and it'll surprise us all. I still would like to get one or two good, solid produce vendors, whether it's family or adult. Besides Cackleberry is one, and if I could get another one equal to them, or better, or even bigger than them, that would really give a good anchor to the market for long term, I think, because I think Rick is down for the long term and is a solid, reliable vendor. So there were about 38 vendors, 32 of which were youth based. So I thought that was a pretty good, you know, my ratio was 25% adults, and I didn't make that. So that was good. It was heavy on the youth side. The biggest feedback that I got from the parents about last year was how much their children grew. And I think that those of us who are community-minded and looking to create leaders of the future appreciate that more than anything else. There were kids that came out of their shell that couldn't make change, that couldn't talk to people, who became quite the good young entrepreneurs in the end. So we ran it through June through September. It really died traffic-wise, public-wise, after Labor Day. So I'm proposing for the new year that we at least look at ending it at Labor Day, and then if the traffic and the market grows a lot, then we can always add a Saturday or two at the end, and then end it in if it warrants it. But if it just dies off like it did last year, then it's kind of silly for them to be out there, and the weather's a little precarious sometimes. But, you know, anyway, we can cross that bridge as we come there. We started the market at during Dairy Days weekend, so I thought that was pretty good. We could do a little better job of putting. I ran out of candy and flyers really early in Dairy Days. I had really not any idea on how fast that stuff went, so I'll have more this year, obviously. And we'll just do a better job of trying to get it out during the parade. Whether it helped or it hurt, it didn't really matter. We had a nice first day. Publicity is the key. The more that the city can help us again with getting the TV stations and the radio stations involved, those were always our busiest. So again, that's pretty much summarized. Do you have any questions about last year that you would like to ask me specifically before I kind of move on to what I projected this year?
Yes, thank you. Becky, I went to most of the Saturday farmers markets, and I agree with you. I think the kids were great. They were fantastic. The biggest concern that I heard an experience with my own grandchildren was the enrollment procedure. We have got to simplify the enrollment procedure so that it's like very easy to access and to get on board. We didn't realize that there were certain standards that you had to meet and so forth that were, when you went online, it was a little more complicated than I was led to believe it might. So any way we could simplify that, especially for the kids enrolling in it, would be great. And the pre-enrollment is good as well. The more pre-enrollments you can do.
Sure. We did. Did you come to any of the sessions before the market opened, where we talked about those kinds of things and all the paperwork and all that stuff, or did you miss those and just plunge into the market itself?
Just plunge into the market and then access the website.
Right.
Yeah.
So we tried at the onset of it. I had a couple of different occasions where I brought in the people. There, unfortunately for me, there are certain requirements that have to be done by the health department and the tax department, those kinds of things. I can't get around them, though I've tried. I can't. Right? They have to do it themselves. So it's a pain. It's a pain for everybody, but it is the way.
Well, I understand that, and I'm not saying to get around it or anything, but I'm saying if we had like a single sheet checklist where you check off, I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to pay this fee.
That I can create.
Yeah.
That I can create over and above the website itself.
Yeah.
The website is handy for me because of week-to-week management. So I'll look at the possibility of getting a sheet that the kids can do, and then I fill out their information, perhaps, if it sort of overwhelms them, some way to streamline it.
Or get a grandparent who's not technologically astute.
I understand. I'm always happy to sit down with anybody just to help them, and I've always made that offer. And we did have a couple of work sessions with that in mind. Now, it doesn't always work out, and people can't always make them, I'll look at it again.
And my second comment was, I agree with you about the Labor Day, because it fell off dramatically, and obviously the reason was school started in August, and once school started, the kids were involved in their school activities and not the farmers market. So I definitely agree with that time frame, Dairy Days to Labor Day. I just think, it was a learning experience the first year, and second year is always better than the first because you can learn from it. So I think we are on the right track. Obviously, if we can earlier in the spring semester, like in
now.
March, April, get to the ag programs in the schools through the ag teachers and start getting them more involved, and the 4-H clubs, the FFA, and so forth, that would be better as well if we could do that outreach.
I will make one comment on that. We had a couple that had actually booked weeks to come, and they were all no-shows during the summer because despite the enthusiasm during school, once summer was there, the kids disappeared. So it was more difficult than we anticipated. Knowing that, it gives me a different approach this year, obviously, but that's what happened. They were frequently no-shows when they were, like, the school programs that committed to doing a week or two just didn't show.
I don't know what kind of a summer school program West Ada School District runs in terms of ag or ag-related, business-related classes, but there might be a way to access some credit for kids if they do participate in farmers market, lining up with one of the classes they're taking, especially if they, any kind of a school entrepreneur type.
Yeah, that's a great
class.
Idea, actually. Yeah.
Oh, you just may have gotten an assignment.
I mean, I'm going to go out and speak to the schools. I don't mind doing that. If you, you know, having
yeah. We went to, when Danielle was here, she and I went to a few schools, and she went to more schools than I did. And they either weren't ready, or they don't do anything during the summer, or it's challenging.
Yeah,
sure.
it is.
But it did help us get, I mean, that's how we found Rick Castleberry. So
yeah.
It was worthwhile. I'm not saying it's not worthwhile to do, just an aside was they were no-shows during the summer. So.
Well, it's no different than us trying to get kids involved like bands with Dairy Days. Is we've got to leverage something to see.
Exactly.
To make it attractive to them.
Totally.
We'll work on something like
exactly.
That.
But that's I like that credit idea. If we could work that out, then we might get some entrepreneurs who come in that are looking fresh.
Or even community service credit or something for graduating seniors. There's ways you can do it.
Sure. Thank you very much. Okay.
I had one suggestion as
uh-huh.
well. Do you require your vendors to come weekly, correct? Or
do
you need
I
a certain
not.
Number? Oh, you don't?
No, they sign up for whichever weeks they want to come. Because they're youth vendors, we didn't want to interfere with summer vacations or summer camps or other experiences. So it makes it difficult to manage.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie. But, you know, because every week's variable and I can't always predict who's going to be there, and then they change and fluctuate all summer long. So it's kind of a pain to manage. That's one of my biggest challenges. And then I set up booths for kids that signed up that forgot they signed up and it's okay. But it's, I think, important as long as you're going to keep it booth based. So they are given the option of signing up for just the weeks they want to go.
Perfect. That was going to be my suggestion.
Yep. Got that one covered. One down.
So you're asked this at this appointment right here is $5,000. Same sponsorship we offered last year.
And I will obviously improve on the model as much as possible, as well as start to train someone to take over for me on a week-by-week basis. I can still stay involved on the back end a lot for probably longer, but I don't want to stay the person on site managing forever. I just don't. So, but I'm happy to help and be part of the market. Does that make sense? I just want to get out of the week-to-week management. So I talked to Rick from Castleberry Farms, and I don't know how much. If you went to the farmer's market, he was the one with the blinged out place all the time. He was really into it. He spent his own money promoting the event most of the time, in addition to ours, in addition to the city. So we had like lots of social media going out every year. I'd like to expand that a little bit this year and try some different things and see if we can get a little higher traffic. Because I heard a lot, people who live downtown didn't know there was a farmer's market there. And I'm like, do you get the email from the city? And they said yes. And then my next question would have been, if I was a smartass, do you read it? Because the city promoted it a lot. And so I how could they miss it? I had A-frame signs on Main Street and on both sides every single week. I had, anyway, so, you know, 3/4 of the way into the market. I didn't know this was here, and I just lived 2 blocks over. What can I do? So I would like to try something different just to change it up a little bit and see what else might work and might be better. I did inquire about a banner across the street. So I'm just going to throw that out there. That is one of those things that would help the market a lot, is if we could get some additional signage. We talked about possibly hanging a banner on City Hall as well, but you know, that's not the best place. Across the street, Main Street would be awesome. Or maybe a flag. I don't know, something. Think about it. But approval from probably here first. I don't know where I have to get approval for that kind of stuff, but anyway, I have to give that up. But I think better signage and just, again, more vendors, more activity is going to help. But we still got to get the public there. So that's the biggest challenge that I see, is still getting the foot traffic there. But I definitely need to start training someone to do day-to-day management. And as I started to say, Rick from Calcaberry said that he would be willing to take that over because he wants the market to stay there. It's his market. So if he's going to take ownership, I think he's a good long-term person, and he could certainly open and close the market.
Just one last comment on that. Calcaberry Farms, Rick, was fantastic. In fact, I look forward to seeing them every week. Their produce was outstanding, and their family participation was just great. And there were a couple of other families that were there, the one that had the little piglets, and there was another, I forgot who they were, there was another one that used to set up on the other side over there. And that really was one of the keys, is getting them there. And, you know, and you were saying about getting maybe a few adult vendors to eat produce. That would be wise as well.
Because
not
agree.
All the kids can raise, you know, the array of vegetables and fruit and such.
Yeah, and I mean, we're mostly, our demographic is mostly family farms right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest demographic, where you have the parents and the kids involved in a family activity every week. And I agree with you, Rick was over the top, the best. He also was the loudest complainer when something was wrong. But, you know, he's entitled because, you know, it's important to him.
Yeah.
He was really concerned the day that the Orcasta, whatever, was coming across the street, and so was I, mostly because of the safety and what I had asked them to do wasn't what they ended up doing. So, but that's kind of a hopefully one-off kind of problem. We won't have that again. But it's good, and it just takes a lot of management and a lot of time every week to do everything that needs to be done, and then try to keep everybody on the same page and showing up when they're supposed to. And we'll keep it very affordable with the stipend. Without the stipend, the prices could go up. Hopefully not for you, but for the adults, we're definitely under market value of what we're charging. And that was to entice people to come this year, you know, the first year. And I would like to be able to do that again next year. Let's just start undercutting some of the other markets, start providing it earlier, and maybe I'll steal a vendor or two. I can say that. Maybe. You know, Caldwell has a weekday market, so there's no reason why their vendors couldn't come over on Saturday. That's really my hope. And they start earlier than us, so I can go out and find the good produce vendors and just see if some of them might like to come over. So that's my suggestion.
I was a regular at the market and had my kids with me at least every other weekend and took them down there, and I'd second what everyone else has said about adding another produce vendor or more adult vendors just to add more variety, and I think that would bring more foot traffic just in and of itself, and also give people a reason to come back. I know people that went down there one time and walked around and like, well, this is okay, but I'm not going to drive, you know, halfway across town to come back to this.
Yeah.
And the other thing, the live music, there was live music sometimes.
Yes.
I thought that was great. If there was music every week, I think that'd be phenomenal.
We have music every week, we just didn't always have live music every week.
Yeah.
I totally agree, but again, you run into that same problem where it's summer and the kids don't want to come. But as we get more and more known, I get more and more people reaching out to me saying, this little group wants to perform, is it okay? And that's like perfect for us. Because I get complaints about the rock band because they're too loud and then the vendors can't hear. I mean, it's a balancing act all the time.
And lastly, too, the bookmobile, that was a favorite of my kids.
I agree.
We had our little pattern and we ended up in the bookmobile every time, got our books and went home.
And believe it or not, I checked out the first library book I have in a long time from the bookmobile.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a good thing, too. You know, I mean, it does remind people that there is a library resource there.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a physical book sometimes when you can't find one online that you want. So for me, it was a good lesson that I can now impart to other people as well. So I would love it if they were back again. So, other questions?
Any other questions?
Ideas?
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Beard?
I guess when we first came last year, the idea was to look at the stipend for first year is certainly a difficult one in trying to establish yourself. And what I've heard from other families is we didn't know about it, and so we didn't have time to plan our crops and what we would do for it. So once it, as it establishes, I think you'll get more interest, and you definitely will get different vendors each time. But it's, the stipend was to make it so that it gave some foundation that you could build partnerships. That's sponsors and partnerships combined. I'm getting into Bushisms. It's been a long week.
It's just Wednesday.
Oh, is it just Wednesday? But I think that as these clubs, because our preview last a year ago, last fall, was extremely successful. In particular, the Meridian Middle School stepped up, and they had tons of produce. So I think that as, again, it's established, it's seen as a commitment, people are more willing to invest in planning for their, for what they're going to grow and making what they want to make and that sort of thing. But the adults do have to be produce vendors. And that is one thing that we told Becky, it cannot be, you know, selling Cincy warmers and those kind of things, because that's mm-hmm. what kills the farmer's market. It becomes a crack fair. And so I think the adult piece to it was supposed to be that staple of, you will have weekly produce, and you're going to have the 9-year-old beekeeper who was not reliable. But, you know,
well, we have another beekeeper now that we can switch. So.
Yeah, those are draws, and it was really fun to come and see who's there and what are they selling and learn more about it. And I think Becky really encouraged the parents to reach out and give feedback. And parents were just blown away. They had quiet, withdrawn kids that became salesmen and knew how to manage money and knew how to market. And a great partner sitting over there with the Meridian Library, it's not just the bookmobile, but they get families galore walking into their doors every day. And you know, maybe engage the library and doing the informational outreach and let's talk about growing your own garden and those kind of things. So it's growing those collaborations and seeing how we can get more families knowledgeable. I wrote down, I meet with the presidents and their PR people of the LDS church, and the Women's Relief Society would be another good outreach to getting to each of those stakes and talking to the leader of the Women's Relief Society, because they'll have probably more influence, and don't tell any of the presidents I said this, they probably will have more influence over getting that information out to the families and the youth than the presidents will. So I think it was a good start and a lot of lessons learned. And unfortunately, there's nothing you can do with protesters with the First Amendment and this is public property. But, you know, I think the city stepped up in spades in giving staff time and resources to seeing that at least the first year was as known as we could. And it will establish itself every year. I'd love to see it closing off the road and having people driving by saying, oh, what's going on there?
I'd like to see the parking lot full of vendors as well as the courtyard, you know. I'd really like to see that expansion start to happen.
Well, instead of into the parking lot, I think you need to do it into the road, if that's possible. possible, just because people will drive by and see if there's something going on. Parking's always there.
So what is our process from here?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the process, we chose not to put an agreement on this agenda because in conversations with the executive team, there were a lot of ideas being thrown out in terms of sponsorships and matching and do we fund it fully. And so we wanted to have this conversation with the board to get direction first. So if you could help give myself and legal counsel the direction as to what terms you would like to see in the agreement, we will have that drafted and we'll present at the next meeting.
Anybody have thoughts on that?
Is there a time frame that we need?
At this point, sooner rather better than later, because we need to start getting the word out, first of all, okay, and make sure that we get the resources allocated properly so that I know kind of what I'm dealing with. And in the meantime, I'm going to keep pushing for sponsorships as well. I know that the Boise Co-op said that they would be there again, or they would be involved again somehow. But again, that's up in the air. And there's a couple other people that I have in mind to talk to. So I don't know.
So a February resolution would be okay? Did something by the first meeting in a month from now?
Mr. Chairman, Member Vassalone, I think we could have it at the next meeting.
Yeah, next.
If we get sufficient direction.
Yeah, it's time to start scheduling with the kids mostly and get them on board and, you know, reconfirm. And I'm kind of installing until I know the resolution of this.
Mr. Chair, I think we started the ball in motion last year. We need to continue to moving it forward. So I make a motion to direct an agreement for the $5,000 for the summer of 2017 and ask maybe, well, I'll leave it at that for now.
I'll second it.
Mr. Chair, just as part of this, the discussion, I think it would be beneficial to this board maybe to get a couple of touch points through the spring and activities that Becky is doing and where perhaps we can help augment some of those efforts. And so if we could maybe get an update in March on where you're at and maybe another update in April, so we know what's headed into the summer season. Yeah, absolutely.
So we have a motion and a second for unrestricted funds of funding the $5,000 for 2017. Is there any other comments? Okay, we'll take a roll call vote. And just so you're aware, this doesn't necessarily allocate the funds yet until we actually pass a resolution at the next meeting.
Okay.
But this is the intent of the board.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Bassam?
Aye.
Commissioner Winder?
Aye.
Commissioner DeVere?
Aye.
Commissioner McCarl?
Aye.
Commissioner Ritter?
Aye.
Five eyes.
Yay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your hard work.
And we'll keep it going.
Yeah, this is exciting.
I think so. I live in Meridian now, so it's really exciting to me to have a farmer's market close by because I'll come here first rather than go to the other markets that I'm not gonna name.
Yep.
But thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. The next or previous item on our agenda is the Unbound Fiscal Year 2016 report by the Meridian Library District. Good morning.
Sorry I'm late.
Oh, you're perfectly fine. It's been a lot of late travel this week and last week with the weather.
Lots of fun, right?
Lots of fun.
So I just wanted to come and kind of give an update of what's happened over the last, 15 months or so. Since we opened Unbound in the fiscal year of, so from the day we opened until October or September 30th of this past year, we had 8,875 people walk through the doors at Unbound. Year to date, for the year 2016, we had a little over 10,000 people come in. Actually, it's not a little over, we had 10,710. that's not going to be the report that you have there, but so we have slightly different numbers based on fiscal year and calendar year. But we've been very successful from where we started and where we ended up. We started with, I think, 23, 24 people per day coming in, and our average now is hovering around 34, 35 people per day coming in. We have people of all ages using our facility, doing all types of things, from making fun little keychains for Girl Scout groups, prototypes for people's businesses, podcasts for groups that want to get their information out there, banners for city events and library events and all different types of things. We have had fun programs of all types, from robots to security and privacy to a workforce development program that we worked with the Department of Labor and SAS Focus to try and train people to become skilled in Salesforce so that they had a higher likelihood of getting into a higher paying job than what they were currently at or what they had just left. We've had a lot of opportunities to do some cool things here locally, but also nationally. In the library world, we've got a lot of awards, and we recently did a photo shoot on Monday where we're going to be featured in the Library Journal magazine on the front cover and on the inside story.
Wow. Is that a national publication?
Yes, it's the publication that I was featured in last year as a library mover and shaker.
That's awesome.
So you probably had, knowing your personality and how well put together you are, I assume you had goals lined out for yourself. Have you exceeded those goals?
In some ways, yes. In some ways, we're still trying to get some of those numbers a little bit higher. I would prefer if we could get those numbers closer to 40 to 50 people per day with a more dedicated routine of people coming in on a regular basis, you know, like 2-3 times a week. But we're still getting there and we're refining our message. And that's kind of what we expected. We took a year to kind of figure out, we had all the pieces and we kind of knew what we were doing, but as you know, the longer we've been there, the tighter that message is when we tell people what we're doing and how we can help.
Nick, are the people who are coming, are they coming as individuals, or are you getting any study groups coming? Because I could see groups of high school students or middle school students or even college students who are working on projects, working together. Are you getting group activities?
I would say predominantly it's individuals, followed by families, followed by groups. That would kind of be the progression for like a breakdown of numbers. The groups that we've had have been fantastic. We've had startup groups in there. We've had businesses come in and have meetings there. One of the most interesting ones was a group of high school students that came in and we didn't help them in terms of like physically walking down and sitting and helping them do anything. We just had the resources and made sure that they had the room available, and they created a publication that they sent out to all of their classmates at the end of the year that documented all of the seniors in their graduating class and had like full page documents that they used the Adobe Creative Cloud to publish, and they also work on some audio and video stuff there as well, but they would come in 2 or 3 times a week as a small group and meet up and work on their project, which is really interesting.
We had a children's museum meeting there.
Yes.
Other questions or comments for Nick? I'm just excited to see it successful. To see the quantity of people that are coming through, the resource and keeping libraries up to date with the new technologies out there in the world. We we tried using the 3D printer, but before you knew it, all of a sudden there was a 3-week backlog. So we kind of pulled back from that a little bit, but it's just neat to have that stuff happening downtown. A lot of that's with appreciation of your personal energy, as you've invested a lot of this, a lot of your time in making this a success. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, just let you know, the backlog is fixed. We're down to a couple of days at most, and with the addition of 2 3D printers over the course of the year, we have 3 that are running almost 24/7, and those have run since we opened, all combined, just shy of 9,000 hours of print time. Wow.
I think there's a demand for that.
Mr. Chair, I'm glad that Becky is still here, because I'm looking at 8,000 people coming through the library, something to hand out to give to them and let them know about the farmer's market. It's a built-in coordination of support.
We would love to do programs if you think to host any classes. We're open.
Okay, love it. That's why I stay. I'm waiting to pick up a new friend.
Is there anything we can provide for you as part of this process?
That I can think of. We're doing pretty good from what we're working with, and once the building is sold, you know, we'll be looking for a new home eventually. So keep your eyes and ears open for possible landing spots.
Well, I think everybody has the same vision that we don't want to see you leave the downtown core, so I'm sure this is going to happen.
Chairman, Nick, how's the building weathered? The weather is like ice and so forth.
It had a leak in the office from a backed up storm drain on the south side, but we cleared that out and we're letting it air dry currently, and our facilities manager doesn't see any other damage from that leak. We're going to monitor the situation over the next few weeks, but there hasn't been any additional damage once the rain started.
Good. Thank you for taking some time.
Thanks, Nick.
Sorry
again.
Don't
worry about it. Totally understood.
Okay.
Next item on our agenda is, well, it's a public relations committee update. It sounds like the public relations committee did not meet.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, that is correct. Due to the weather on Monday, we have rescheduled that meeting to next Wednesday afternoon. But we do need to bring something to the board's attention, and we will come back with a recommendation. Our PR firm, Gallatin Public Relations, will be closing its doors at the end of March. Gallatin Boise office will be no more. Natalie Pogorski, who is our contact person, will be staying through the end of the transition. She is trying to find a landing spot at this point, and so we are hopeful that she will land somewhere that we can continue working with her and maintain the consistency, but that has yet to be seen. So the PR committee, this is a big discussion item, and we'll come back to the board with a recommendation.
10 Mile Urban Renewal District update.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we're just working through the owner participation agreement with Brighton Corporation. It's really in their court at this point to provide us a number of exhibits, and they are working through that on their end, so I don't have much else to report at this time.
Upcoming committee meetings?
Mr. Chairman, at the last page of your packet, I believe, or forgot to write that page number down. 32 is the upcoming committee meeting between now and the next meeting. Like I mentioned just a moment ago, our PR committee is meeting next Wednesday afternoon from 2:15 to 3:15 in the City Council conference room. I will be counseling the Wayfinding and Signage Committee. I will not have anything from Rising Creative for us to review in time for that meeting. They are moving forward on the destination downtown signage, but I won't have the mock-up for the new kiosk quite yet. So that meeting will be canceled.
And when does the
Mr. Chairman, we don't have a meeting on the books quite yet. I know I have at least two facade improvement applications coming in fairly quickly, one from Cole Christian, the other for the block of El Tenampa, and because I spoke to one of those property owners yesterday. So we don't have anything on the books quite yet for that conversation, but soon.
Okay. And then there was also the visioning thought process that Nathan had brought up.
Yes, we'll be incorporating that into the conversation
okay.
as well.
Okay. Council's report?
Mr. Chairman, nothing to report.
Administrator's report?
Nothing else. Thank you.
Chairman's report? I guess I have nothing to report. I have a thought, but anybody else have anything?
Just throw it out there.
Well, we're missing. We all care and know about Keith, and we're missing him today. I think he's a little under the weather. So if you wanted to reach out, say hello to him.
Okay.
Yeah, he was at council last night, but I think he needs to be a little bit slower in getting back into the mainstream.
Okay. Thank you for letting us know.
Public is ignoring this.
Sorry. I'm a little concerned about the national deficit, but other than that, no comment.
I concur, maybe a little more than a little less. Then entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
all in favor?
Aye.